Emma bet me that she was going to break up with me in 3 months.
I think I said six.
Did you say six?
I think I said six.
And I was
six.
Like, I'll take that bet. And here we are 16 years later.
Here they are. Emma and Mike. 16 years, two kids, and a bookstore later. Yeah, a bookstore. That's what this story is about. Every couple I know has their career escape fantasy. I have friends who daydream about buying a goat farm, even though they've never touched a goat. Seriously, I think maybe they've eaten goat cheese once, and goat farms look pretty on Instagram. But the best-selling novelist Emma Straub and her husband Mike, they're the one couple I know who actually did it, who had this couple's career fantasy, and they made it happen. With no experience at all, they opened one of the most successful bookstores in New York City. The way they describe it, opening a bookstore was a little like having a third baby. It's changed who they are as individuals and completely redefined their marriage. And they love it. They really, really love it. I'm Joe Piazza. This is Committed. Emma and Mike met in a New York City elevator in an office building on 4th Street and Broadway. Emma was working as an editorial assistant at a publishing company. Mike was in the art department.
And then he just, like, would not leave me alone. He would just, like, would, like, come to my desk for no reason.
Yeah.
Make me mixes.
I was 24. And then here's, like, Emma, fresh out of college. And just, like, unlike anyone I had ever met or encountered in Florida.
So Mike had embarrassing earrings.
Yeah.
That were, like, small plugs, but they were plugs, like little hole expanding plugs. And so in my phone, he was just plugs.
Yeah.
And it took a long time for me to break everyone else of the habit of calling him plugs.
Yeah. Emma was like, hi, I'm Emma. I'm a novelist. And, you know, and I was like, whoa.
Like, you said that you'd never met anyone like me, and I'd certainly never met anyone like you. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I think we were like, we came from two very different planets. And we are still from two very different planets.
And we would exchange these really long emails at work that were like these long stories. You remember?
I was so bad at that job. I was terrible.
Yeah, you were terrible at that job.
I hated every minute of that job.
One day, things got to a point where we were like, what is going on here? And, like, one of us wrote an email to one another where we were like, we need a vacation. Like, we can't, this is getting too, like, intense or something weird like that. And then that night, we were like, we'll talk about it tonight. And then we went and got drinks, and then we, like, hooked up. That was basically what happened.
Plugs and the Novelist. Sounds like an indie rock band from 1993.
Yeah.
Except Emma wasn't actually a novelist. Not yet.
When I met Emma and she told me that she was a novelist, she was like in the middle of writing this novel. She quit the job that we were both working at to finish it. She finished it and it went to every single publisher, got rejected everywhere.
Everywhere. I wrote so many novels that did not get published.
And it was about 10 years before you published something.
Yeah.
And during that time, like, Emma went to grad school. I followed her to Wisconsin. I said, if I go with you, you're going to have to marry me after this is all done. And it worked out. And we went to Wisconsin and had an adventure.
New York was all fun and games. They were surrounded by friends and Emma's family. It was easy to be in love in New York. It's always easy to be in love in New York. Madison, Wisconsin, on the other hand, that was the real test of their relationship.
We figured out a lot of stuff about each other, I think, during that time.
Well, it was, yeah. I mean, it was like being in an isolation chamber.
This is real, and we're learning sides of each other that I don't think we had ever seen before.
And when did you guys get married? How long after you met?
6 years.
6 years to the day. That was really important to me for some reason.
We got married on a Thursday.
Yeah, we got married on a Thursday. I was like, I don't want to have two anniversaries, so we have to do it on the day. And we did it. We decided to get married together And something I'll never live down is, like, I never, like, formally proposed. I mean, we, like, had, like, we found ourselves planning the what we were going to do. And we were like, oh, like, we're doing this.
And that was in June. And then we got married in September.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was 6 years to the day. And we've been married 10 years this year.
Yeah.
September 25th.
So they get married. Emma finishes her MFA in Wisconsin. And they move back to New York. Emma starts working at Book Court, their local bookstore in Brooklyn. It's a way to pay the bills while she keeps trying to publish that first book. She's a novelist. She just has to publish that novel.
Getting Emma to the point where she was putting books out was like an enormous effort from both of us. I think the thing that makes us work so well in a lot of ways is like her ambition is like through the roof. Never met anyone this ambitious. And I'm like a real nuts and bolts person. Emma's like, I want to have a New York Times bestseller. And I'm like, okay, like, how does that happen? And we like talk about, you know, and like that was a different thing. But in any case, getting Emma to a point where she was putting books out was like something that I think we both worked on for a really long time.
Yeah.
And like,
it was like the number one goal.
That was the number one goal.
Emma's agent at the time didn't really think that her novel was ready to be released into the world.
Oh, and she told me on Valentine's
Day. And she told you on Valentine's Day and Emma cried. And
yeah.
And Emma was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
And she went and booked an event at McNally Jackson and invited everyone in the publishing industry. And they all showed up. She read the first chapter of her novel. The next day, all the publishers were calling her agent to get it. And she sold it next week. And like, that is like a perfect example of how Emma gets things done. It's like, she knew that that's what she wanted and she went and got it and that was it. And it was amazing. It was crazy. And then from there, it was just like, it's just been books and kids and...
Books and kids
and then bookstore.
Now we have to rewind for a second. Before Emma went to grad school, she had been the personal assistant to a rock star. Yeah, an actual rock star. Stephen Merritt, who was in this band called the Magnetic Fields. I think I'll make another world and fill it with whatever I want. When her book finally came out, the Magnetic Fields let Emma come on tour with them and be their opening act. An author as the opening act for a band. It's pretty unconventional, but also pretty cool.
I would read a little bit and then I really, truly, pathetically would play Que Sera Sera on a ukulele and the band would come out and sing it for me. And then that was it. It was great. And then we came home from that. It was Thanksgiving. And then the next morning, I found out that I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving did not make me pregnant.
Probably not.
It was good Thanksgiving, but I don't think it was.
But so, and so then we had baby.
Yeah. Well, no. And you were pregnant and then you were like, oh no, I need to write a book. And so we went to Mallorca and you did research and that was January of that year.
That trip was for Emma's book, The Vacationers. It's set in Mallorca, which is an excellent excuse to have to go to Mallorca. It also makes me reconsider setting my next book in Philadelphia, which is a place I already go all the time. Here's Mike again.
And then you wrote The Vacationers during your pregnancy. You turned it in July and you had River in August.
In August. Yeah. Oh my God. Right. So then I published The Vacationers and then I got pregnant again while writing my next book, Modern Lovers. And then Miles was born and then Modern Lovers came out like 4 months later, which was like a total disaster. I do not recommend it. Having a small baby and going on a book tour was a nightmare, a horrible nightmare. Just like using my breast pump in the Amtrak bathroom. Like horrible, horrible, horrible.
The Vacationers was Emma's first really big novel. It hit the New York Times bestseller list. All the reviewers loved it. It's a fantastic book. If you haven't read it, order it now. It's great. We're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, we'll find out how Emma went from writing books to selling them. Emma was absolutely devastated when she found out that Book Court, the bookstore where she worked while she was working on her first published book, was closing.
immediately we talked to the owners who we had known for
10 years.
10 years yeah, at that point. More.
Yeah.
And they had sold the building, so we knew that we couldn't have a bookstore there. But we talked to them a long time, and they were wonderfully open with us about their tax returns, about how successful the bookstore was.
And it was really successful.
So we started doing all the math and talking to our other friends.
When we had the idea, the first person Emma wrote to was Ann Patchett. And Emma was like, should we do this? And Ann Patchett was like, you should definitely do this. You will do this. And it was like, okay, that's good. And then I called our friend Christine, who runs Word, and she was like, you should not do it. And I was like, why? And she was like, it's so hard. Oh my God. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
It was also a good time for Mike to start something new.
I had really not fully gotten back to work. Like, Emma managed to write another book, but I just couldn't get my mind around it so well. And I had sort of been thinking about trying to shift gears and do something else. And then we had this came up, and I was like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I want to do this.
But remember, they had no idea how to do this. They had no idea how to open a bookstore or run a bookstore.
How do we do this? Like, what does a bookstore business plan look like? Mm-hmm. Like, how do we raise money? How do we do anything? Like, because we didn't know.
We didn't know anything.
Any of it.
And we just dove in head first. Yeah. And it was just, you know, we there was no other way. Like, it had to work. And we just basically took
a leap.
And
I knew it would. Like, I wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, you knew it would.
I knew it would be exactly what it is.
We had a lot of conversations with Emma's parents about like what it would do to our family, which they were kind of ultimately right about, even though at the time I was like, screw you guys. Yeah. You know, like,
what did they say?
Well, they were like, you guys would have never had this kind of responsibility. You're going to have like this place. It's going to change the dynamic of your relationship.
Yeah. Emma's mom grew up in Milwaukee. Her dad owned a department store there.
She said, you know, he was there until 6 o'clock and he came home and had dinner, but it was a thing that you have to tend to. And my father's father was a salesman and like always all over the place. And his mother was a nurse who worked very, very hard. And sort of in reaction to that, my parents had built this life where they were both around all the time. You know, my dad is a writer and certainly spent a lot of time working, but he worked in our house and he was always present. Like, I never went a day without seeing either of my parents. You know, and my mother got her social work degree when I was in elementary school, and then she created this early childhood literacy program that she ran for 25 years. But still, my parents were there all the time. And there was always flexibility. You know, we could go away for 2 weeks or whatever, or a month. And, you know, there weren't any, like, sort of anchors.
Yeah.
And we have like affixed
building
ourselves.
Building an anchor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it really was, like, it's really our third child in every single way. Like, that is exactly what we made.
Yeah. You know? And we didn't think about it at the time. Like, I think that we were so sort of delirious and sleep-deprived from Miles still. Mm-hmm. That we were like, you know, what's another thing?
Yeah, but it's another thing.
It's like really
a huge, and really, I think you said this the other day to somebody, but River and Miles, our first two children, I obviously was very involved and I did as much as I could, but Emma was the point person, you know, she was the one breastfeeding.
Yeah.
She's the point person. The third child, the bookstore baby, I am the point person. I'm the one breastfeeding it. And I really do understand Emma's position and a lot more now than I did back then, because it's just like, man, there is something going on all the time there I have to deal with.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
There is something tied to your boob all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have 15 employees, you know, and there's a problem every day, you know, with somebody or something. And it's a lot of work. But I've never worked harder and I've never been happier at work. I'm tired and it's hard to go from work to home, and that transition can be really tough. But it is so nice being at that store every day and just like working on this thing that we made. So cool. And I love it. And like, and when we have like an event, you know, like when I walk into my store at 9 o'clock and the store is like packed with people and everyone's just like partying, it makes me so happy.
And everyone's happy. Yeah. That's the thing. In a world right now where people are bummed more than pretty much ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to walk into a space where people are happy and joyous
yeah.
and buying books.
Yeah. yeah.
That's awesome.
So Emma and Mike got all those different opinions about opening a bookstore. They got a ton of advice about how to figure out how to run a bookstore. Then they just had to figure out how to finance a bookstore. Well, let's take a quick break here. How'd you finance it?
We thought that we would do a crowd fundraising thing the way that Greenlight did.
Yeah.
They did a community lender program mm-hmm. that was kind of like a Kickstarter, but people were paid back. We thought that we were going to do something like that. But when we announced, all of these people came out of the woodwork and wanted to talk to us about investing. They were tech people who we found scary.
Terrifying.
Really terrifying.
Yeah, so scary. So intense. We were just like, you are the wrong vibe for this. Thank you for your offer of however much money, but this is not going to work.
No.
Because we don't know what we're doing.
But then, you know, other people in the literary community, who we had lots of really good conversations with that didn't work out for whatever reasons. But ultimately, we have one investor and he is our guardian angel. If guardian angels are 6'3" gingers from Staten Island.
They are. I think it says that in the Bible.
So. Yeah. So we have one couple as our investors, Eddie Joyce and Martine Beeman. They are the greatest. Eddie is a novelist, and he and I have the same literary agent, which is how we met. And we had lunch to talk about it. And he just understood that we had a plan and that we had a vision and that we were going to execute it.
Yeah, and he believed in us.
He totally believed in us.
I didn't believe in, not that I didn't believe in us, but I definitely didn't. There was a lot of stuff that we were winging.
But what's great is that, so we are in the store all the time and our lunatic children are. But Eddie and his wife, Martine, have three gorgeous, brilliant, well-behaved daughters. And they are in the store all the time, too, and just sitting and reading. It is exactly what we wanted.
And the great thing about having Eddie is that, if I have a problem, I have someone else to talk to. He's just so helpful and so calming. That's been a really great sort of aspect to this, having him be kind of become a family member, essentially, and having them become a family members is just so cool.
Yeah.
Just all of our employees too have become this. We are this family.
Families are complicated.
Families are complicated.
And staff families are complicated. But Mike gets so excited when he talks about their staff. He actually looks like he might jump out of his seat.
I'm constantly talking to them on a very personal level about their lives, about growing up, about whatever. I love it. It just is so much fun to get to know these people. And I feel like it's working out, for the most part.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that if you were to ask all the 15 people, I would say at least 12 of them would say that it was great.
That's a good return.
It's a good ratio.
It is.
There are definitely people in the store where I'm like, I am going to see you grow up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I really look forward to seeing you when you're 40 or whatever, because you're just incredible now.
Yeah,
and you're just gonna be,
I know. We have so many smart cookies and I just love them.
Yeah. And it's just, it is, it's so nice. And
it's like having children, only you don't have to do the hard part.
I know, that sounds so nice.
You know?
Yeah, it is. And to think about some of these people, it wasn't their first jobs. Some of these people were leaving really dependable paychecks to come work for us.
To bet on you guys.
To bet, and they did bet on us. That's hugely, I just can't believe it,
Believe it, Mikey.
I know.
Believe it.
Believe it.
It's very nice. And I'm constantly grateful to all of them for it. Yeah. I get very emotional with that, especially with them. I get so emotional with them.
Just to back up for a hot second, Books Are Magic opened their doors in 2017.
And our first customer was Colson Whitehead because our kids are best friends. And he signed all of his books. And then on our year anniversary, he came and did an event.
Yeah.
The space is bright and beautiful. It looks like your much cooler friend's very Instagrammable apartment.
just filled with books. They have this great mural outside. It's black with hot pink lettering that says books are magic in a kind of rainbow, and people love to pose under it. I love to pose under it. They divided and conquered who would do what and decided Emma would be the one to handle the front of the house.
She's like the mayor. She floats in. She talks to everybody. She's just like the fun. She brings the fun. And she also does all the frontlist book buying. So she chooses which books are coming into the store. I mean, because we are a small-ish store and we can't have everything. And essentially, every independent bookstore is like a curated thing. And so Emma does the curation. I'm really doing the nitty-gritty.
Mike is pure nitty-gritty.
Yeah, I'm like all nitty-gritty. So I'm like climbing on the roof during a rainstorm, unclogging a drain because there's water pouring into our skylight, making sure that we got that order of Marriage Vacation in. or, you know, and calling the publisher and finding out where that package is.
Making sure we have toilet paper.
Making sure that ordering toilet paper or going across the street and buying it. I'm receiving books. I'm
paying the booksellers.
Paying all the booksellers, paying the publishers. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff going on all the time in my camp. You know, mm-hmm. like Emma's job is awesome because she gets to kind of like float in and just like sprinkle
fairy dust.
Yeah, all over the store. And it's great. And like the days where Emma is like parked in the front desk, the store is like alive in a way that, I mean, it's always alive and fun, but when Emma is in and she's sitting at the front desk, like everyone is bouncing around a little bit more. And that's great.
When Emma and Mike first came into the studio, they told me that Mike was about to turn 40.
And I was like, God, like 10 years, like your 30th birthday, like what has happened in the last 10 years? Like it doesn't feel like that much. And then I was like, actually, it feels like forever. And Mike was like listing all of the things that weren't true when he turned 30 that are true now. And it's like everything
it's
in our lives.
I mean, our entire lives are different. Everything is different.
Yeah.
Every single thing.
I had no books. We had no kids. We had no bookstore. We were living in Madison, Wisconsin.
That's everything. I mean, it's everything that are the center of our lives right now did not exist 10 years ago. But like this relationship existed, but it was like a very different form.
Oh, sure.
And like something that your mother has said that I understand more now than I did when she said it many, many years ago, which she was talking about being married to Emma's father. They've been married for 51 years. And she said, I've been married to so many different people. And I definitely feel like I married my other person in the last 10 years.
Other people we married.
Other people we married. But yeah, like I definitely feel like we married another person in the last 10 years. Like everything has changed for us. And
yeah, but
I don't know.
I think it's very satisfying, like as a novelist, to see how like seeds that you plant or threads appear and reappear. Like the fact that Mike ripped pages out of library books to make album covers for his friends' bands and went on tour with his friends' bands, sort of helped us go on tour with the Magnetic Fields, and like the dynamic that we developed working for them is very much the dynamic in the bookstore.
That's a big thing. Yeah, that
you know that that it's our strengths are still our strengths.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And yours are yours and mine are mine. And what's nice is that they're totally different.
Yeah.
And so he can take care of the things that he can take care of and I can take care of the things that I take care of, and that it's symbiotic, and that, you know, together we can do something that's amazing.
Yeah. So true.
Well, you said last night, and this was interesting, that you think the bookstore has changed your marriage more than even having kids.
It has so much. There are positive and negative ways. Mm-hmm. Like the most positive aspect of the bookstore for us personally, I think, is that it makes Mike so happy. I think that you are happier in this work environment. I mean, you just said this, that like it's like the happiest work environment for you that you've like ever had.
For sure.
But you know, the flip side of that is that for the first 15 years that we were together, we were like really together, like 24 hours a day.
We never left each other's side for 15 years.
Nick and I are never apart for longer than like an hour. I mean, this is a really long time for us right now.
Yeah. It's just like we are just never, we did everything together all the time. And when we had kids, especially when we had River, we didn't have childcare for 10 months.
Yeah.
And we just did it.
We just did it for the past year.
And now with the store, we have to divide and conquer with the store and the two kids.
Yeah.
I do often, I guess, sometimes feel like I'm like a ship with no captain or something, or sense or something, where like Emma had to go and write a book. And she's been writing a book for the last 6 months. And there was a lot of stuff at the store specifically that I had to take care of and make decisions on where I couldn't really get to Emma to sound off on it. And it was a weird feeling because it literally was the first time in 16 years where I felt that way.
Yeah. And it's like, and the flip side of that is that like I'm at home with these two maniacs and I'm like,
where's Mike?
Where is my husband?
And I'm like running. I'm like leaving a chaotic scene at the store where like someone's in a bad mood or whatever. And I'm running home and I walk in and everyone's screaming at each other. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, you know, and it's like a sprint to bedtime. And then we get to sit down for like 45 minutes before we pass out.
Yeah.
You know, like that I think would be like, that's to me like the downside of things. Yeah. Like when things are rough, where I feel like I don't talk to Emma as much as I used to.
Yeah.
And well, I miss
it also used to be that like when we got babysitters, it would be so that we could go out to dinner or go to the movies or whatever.
Yeah.
And now we get babysitters and we go to the store.
And you go to work.
You know.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we're trying to be better.
Yeah.
The nighttime at the store is really like my time at the store because that's when the authors come.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to show my face and to...
And to support,
of course. To support everyone. But it is hard because we have events every day.
Yeah.
And
good events every day.
And good events every day. And it's impossible. It's impossible.
Yeah. But we're doing all right.
We're doing all right. We're trying.
Yeah.
You're figuring it out.
Yeah.
We're all just figuring it
out. We're committed with Joe Piazza.
So I have a confession to make. I'm one of those people whose couple's career fantasy is to go live on a goat farm. That's how Nick and I ended up on a goat farm last weekend. Here we are.
We're here. We're on a goat farm right now. We're staying at Wondernut Farm next to Yosemite National Park. There's Charlie.
Yeah. It's a confession? That seems like a reasonable fantasy to me.
You don't think it's a reasonable fantasy. You told me I couldn't have goats.
I did not. I said we couldn't have goats in San Francisco, which is perfectly reasonable.
Anyway, so we're testing it out. We got up in the morning and we watched them milk the goats and the sheep. And we actually put milk directly into our coffee from, is it a nipple or a teat?
Both. I think teats have nipples.
A nipple teat. And I still want to do it. I still kind of want to live on a goat farm.
I think it's a lovely idea. I'm not ready to do it tomorrow. I think you should spend a little time on a goat farm more than one night before
it's nice here.
Diving into that
it's
fantasy.
It's really nice here.
It is nice. It's hard work.
I know it is.
You're in charge of the goats. I'll take care of the house and other things.
Okay. Division of labor.
Sounds good.
All right.
This episode was hosted and reported by Joe Piazza. Special thanks to Emma and Michael Fusco-Straub. It was produced and edited by Ramsey Yunt and Tyler Klang with mixing by Tristan McNeil. The executive producers are Joe Piazza, Mangesh Hatikader, and Will Pearson. Theme song and music by Tristan McNeil with additional music by Smaller Tide. For comments, suggestions, or to be part of the show, give us a call at 404-996-1173. That's 404-996-1173. 1173. You can grab a copy of Joe's new book, Charlotte Walsh Likes to Win, on Amazon or wherever books are sold. This episode was recorded at Mouth Media Network Studio in New York, powered by Sennheiser. Check out Mouth Media's fun and inspiring daily podcast, hashtag Moms Got This, for all the working moms getting it done. Hashtag Moms Got This is on iTunes, Google Play, and at momsgotthisshow.com. Committed with Joe Piazza has been a production of the How Stuff Works family, produced in our studios located in Atlanta, Georgia.